Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, with me today. While you're turning, if anybody wants to go with us this Saturday, passing out flyers in the neighborhood, Teen Challenge guys are coming Saturday, as Brother Joe said. They'll be here Saturday at 11. They're just going to pass out flyers for a couple of hours, and then they're going to come back here and eat lunch with the Young Word crowd, praise God. And then, of course, Sunday we have our dinner on the ground, so be a busy week. And don't forget, Wednesday night, we would really like for everyone to make every possible effort to come this Wednesday night. Brother Babu will be here from India. We got a very late notice of him stepping into the United States, so we were able to get him to come Wednesday night, and I know you'll be encouraged by all. This is one of the ministries we support. Derek just came back from over there again. They have the orphanages and various outreaches to the people in India, so I know you'll be blessed and you'll be encouraged, and we'll give you an opportunity to sow into the great harvest field of India. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'd like to talk today about following Christ. That's what we are, followers of Christ. We're not supposed to be followers of men. We praise God for godly men and godly women who set a good example. We praise God for them. They can be so encouraging. But you know, ultimately, we're not followers of men. Ultimately, we are followers of Christ. And even the best men have clay feet, and the best examples are still human and flawed. But our Savior is unflawed. The one who set a perfect example for us is the one we follow. We are followers of Christ. We have to remind ourselves of this often, that you and I are followers of Christ. We're not followers of a denomination. We're not followers of an organization. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, just a few familiar verses, the Lord said, beginning in verse 2, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests of the scribes and the scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. These are the religious leaders of his own people, his own nation. He would be rejected by the chief of them all. Luke 9:22. What did I say? I said Luke 2? You see, y'all have to know where I'm going. I'm so sorry. Luke 9:22. 22. I left out the 20 part. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. You know, I could actually hear the confusion when but I knew, wait, something was. You know, when you're always confused, Glenn, you shouldn't be throwing rocks. And be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. There's the whole gospel message right there. Amen. And he said to a few of them.
Them all.
Yes. How many he said it to?
All.
He said to them all, if any man, literally if any, that would include men and women. Literally, if any will come after me, you want to follow me, you want to be my disciple, then let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I want to focus on verse 23, the three conditions that the Lord gives in this passage for being his disciple. If any man would come after me, then here's the three conditions. Let him deny himself. Deny in this passage means exactly that, to utterly deny, to disown. It means exactly what it meant. You know, when Peter denied the Lord three times, he denied that he had any part with him. He denied that he knew him. He denied that he was his disciple. He denied that Jesus was his master. Three times Peter denied the Lord. Well, in the same way, the Lord says, if you want to be my disciple, you deny yourself, yourself. You deny yourself as master of your life because yourself is no longer master. You want to be my disciple? Deny yourself. Self does not rise up and dictate how you live, what you say, or the attitude in which you say it. Self dies. You deny self. You disown self. You disown it. To say we disregard it is not strong enough. We utterly deny self. That's what he's saying right here. You disown self. You take up the cross, and not occasionally. But let him deny self and take up his cross daily. This means it's a lifestyle of crucifixion of self. Dying to the self, dying to our pride, our ego, our own independent wants. Dying even to the things that we know would simply gratify us, but may be contrary to the will of God or the word of God. Take up his cross, and then he said, and follow me. Verse 23, follow me. I want to emphasize in particular today the following part, that's what we're called to be, followers of Jesus Christ. And whether we have fully acknowledged it before or not, you know, we are natural born followers. Everybody seems to be following somebody, and we could blame it on whoever, but you know, I think it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, because from the very beginning, the old serpent told Eve, you know, eat this. And she followed. And then Eve told Adam, hey, eat this. And he followed. And right ever since, it seems like people follow. They follow one another. They follow other people. People follow strong leaders, even when they don't know where those leaders are taking them. They will follow charismatic people. When I talk about charismatic, that doesn't mean that they have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But just charismatic, they have a lot of personal charisma, charm, winsome ways, good looking, you know, so forth. The first things your infants learn to do is follow your example, mimic you. They're little mimickers, you know. But nowadays, I think we've become followers more than ever before. I mean, social media has made followers of the nation and followers of the world. They follow so many people on all the social platforms, whether it's Twitter. And I've never tweeted in my life, so I don't even know what you do to do it. But I know things like Instagram and all of that people follow. Not that that's a sinful thing to do, but what do the masses of people follow? They follow their heroes. They follow some trend. They follow the movie stars and see, oh, what fashions are they wearing now? Or where are they going now? Or who are they with now? They follow the sports heroes. They follow their teams. They follow some politician. They follow tweets, Twitters. Again, not all of it is sinful, but, you know, it's easy to fall in line and just follow what everybody else is doing. Ultimately, we're called to be followers of Jesus Christ. What we follow can influence us. People who follow the rock and roll stars. You know, I saw something the other day, and I guess it bothered me maybe even more than it should have, because it was a Christian concert, and all of the people in there, it was like they were at a rock and roll concert. It was the same thing, the same attitude. You got to pay to get in. You know, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't know if that's just a pet peeve, but if God has anointed people and given them a great gift, and then they charge you to go hear them exercise their God-given gift. Now, I understand that in the world, but I don't understand it in the church. It would be the same as charging admission at the door of the church. We're going to charge you. Oh, you want to come here, Pastor so-and-so? Well, you know, it's $20. Get in. You know, $20 fee or whatever. But this particular concert, it was like $60-something to get in and to go do what? To worship the Lord. You got to pay to go worship the Lord with this group of people. And if you looked at the people who were there and they were talking, oh, we just love their music. We love their songs. We love their style. But nobody said we love their Jesus. But, you know, I think people are out to follow an experience. Yeah. They're out to follow some emotion. But, you see, this is just a pet peeve with me. Maybe it bothered me more than it should. But the Lord said we're called to be followers of Him. Amen. He said, if you want to be my disciple, follow me. Follow me. It just boggles my mind, I think, what some people follow today. You know, over the entire course of the Lord's ministry, He told His disciples and He told everybody, follow me. At the very beginning things He said, when He saw Peter and Andrew, you know what He told them? Follow me. You follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Over the course of His ministry, here you have in our text, Luke 9:23, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, you follow me, you follow me. You know, after Peter denied the Lord, he denied Him those three times, the Lord appeared to them, you know, after His crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, He appeared to them. Remember when He appeared to Peter, He said, Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me, Peter? Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Then the Lord said, you love me? Remember, three times He asked Peter that. And then after the third time, He told Peter about the kind of death he would die. Over in John 21, you don't have to turn there, but this is what the Lord told Peter. He said, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hands and someone else will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. And the Bible says in Luke 21, this is what He spake, signifying what death He should glorify God. And when He had spoken this, then the Lord looked at Peter, and this is what He said. John 21 and verse 19, follow me. That's what the Lord told Peter. So at the beginning of His ministry, during the course of His ministry, and even at the end of His ministry, you know what the Lord was saying? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Somebody counted over 25 times the Lord said, follow me, over the course of His ministry. 25 times. I think that's an emphasis. I think it must be important that He's the one we follow. And for all of us who would be His disciples, we have to remember He is the one we follow.
Amen.
Despite the 25 times the Lord said it, I wonder if modern Christians even know what it means to follow the Lord. I think it can be summed up in four statements. What it means to follow the Lord. First, it means to follow His message. Follow His message. He even talked about, don't be ashamed of me and my words, my teachings. You know, we follow His message. We follow His teachings. We follow His instructions. If you're going to follow the Lord, you follow the Word of God. Bottom line, you follow the Word of God. You know, on the course of life, as we follow Christ, and for my wife and I now, it's been since 1974, following the Lord. There's been a lot of people that we've known that walked with us and we walked with over the course of these many years. But you know what you find happens? Sometimes people get off track. And they'll start following something else. They'll follow a fad. They'll follow some new trend. They'll follow something that deviates slightly from the Word of God. But you know, if you start a gradual deviation, you know, over time, the deviation just gets wider and wider until you're not even on course anymore. You have lost your way. Over the years, we've seen that happen to many who've lost their way. They get boggled down in so many foolish things. And you know, the religious world is always recycling old error. It just keeps recycling the old heresies that we've seen people get off and get back into religious bondage. We've seen people get off and get into Judaism. We had one guy who walked with us for a while who got so wrapped up in Judaism, he actually converted and became a Jew. And the last time I spoke to him, he was denying Christ. At one time, we walked following Christ together. And this happens. People get involved. They start listening to the wrong voices that lead them astray. They start hanging with the wrong people. And your influences, well, they're influential. Amen. And they can cause people to stumble. They can cause people to lag behind. Whereas they once were fervent followers of Christ, we found some just getting bogged down now. They're not listening to the Word of God anymore. Now they're struggling with doubt and fear and unbelief. And before you know it, they're not even walking in the same path anymore. We follow His message. We never deviate from the message of Christ. We never deviate from the message of the Bible. Amen. So if it's a new revelation, it's false. Amen. If they have a new, I have this brand new, right hot off the press vision. If it doesn't lead us straight to the Scriptures, then it's wrong. It's false. We follow His message. We don't deviate from His message. And if the godly men or women we walk with deviate from the message, then we do not follow them. Amen. You and I have a higher obligation, and that is to follow Christ. We follow Christ. It means, secondly, that we follow His manner. We follow His message. We follow His manner. That means we follow His example. Amen. He told His disciples in our text here in verse 22, the Son of Man must succeed in many things. Oh, that's right. He must suffer many things and be accepted of all the religious leaders and praised by them. No. And you know, if the Master suffers, then so will His disciples, because the servants are not above the Master. He said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, if you're going to follow His message and follow His manner, then you will experience what He experienced, because you're going to be walking in His footsteps. You'll know what it means to suffer scorn and ridicule and mockery. And don't be surprised when much of it comes from religion, even from fellow Christians who do not understand, who are marching to a different drummer. They're listening to a different drum beat. No, he says, you follow me. You follow his message. You follow his example. We walk in his footsteps. We follow the Lord because he's our example.
Amen. Yep.
We follow his example of love, his example of humility, Amen. His example of service. You remember he served. He said he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, now you serve others just like I've served you. You be a servant. He didn't call us to be superstars. He didn't call any of us to be rock stars. He didn't give any of us a scepter and a crown and say, now you preside over my people. Let them all be your servants. He said, no, the greatest of all in the kingdom is the servant of all. The greatest of all is the servant of all. How can I serve? How can I be useful in the kingdom of God? What can I do? And no area of service is beneath the Christian. If it renders a valid service to others, to the body of Christ. We follow his love. We follow his example of forgiveness. Because you know what? There were just some people the Lord said, you know what you've done now? I'll never forgive you for putting those nails in my hands. Is that what he said?
No.
You ever feel like people have drove nails in your hands or thorns upon your head or done whatever they could to heap ridicule, scorn, or injury upon you? And sometimes we justify our own selves in harboring resentments. We justify it because of the way they mistreated us, because we don't deserve that. And the Lord tells us just the opposite. The one who didn't deserve it, he got it and he forgave. And here we are, so full of ourselves that we can't overlook and overcome. We're called to follow his example. We're called to follow his example of faith, an unwavering faith that enabled him to endure the greatest trials, that enabled him to overcome the greatest rejections. I mean, you know, his own disciples rejected him.
That's right.
At one time they all forsook him and fled, the Bible says. How could he do that as a man? How could a man do that, overcome this such complete rejection? Well, he did it by trusting in his Father.
Amen.
Just like you and I can trust in God. He walks with us. We're never alone. You've experienced rejection because everybody has. You can't be more than a few years old if you don't know what rejection is. But people have been rejected, hurt. You've been spoken of, maligned, you know, spoken of in unjust ways. If you've gone through the heartbreak that many have of divorce, if you've ever had a child want to disown you or not talk to you or angry at you or a parent or a brother or a sister, who hasn't been through some of those things? We all know what it's like to be the object of people's scorn and mockery and dislike. So what do we do with those things? We don't complain and grumble and, why, Lord, are you letting me go through this? Why am I going through this? I don't deserve this. You know, the Lord could say, would you notice the scars in my hands?
Right.
Have you thought about that? Have they nailed you to a cross? You might feel like it, but you know it hasn't happened, right?
Amen. You're right.
So the scorn, the ridicule, the rejection, whatever it is we feel, don't you think we ought to be able to trust the Lord to overcome these things and not allow it to turn into resentment and hatred in our hearts?
Amen.
Shouldn't we be also able to forgive as the Lord forgave?
Yes.
What an example when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, the truth of the matter is, most of the stuff that's heaped at you by people, they don't know what they're doing either. They don't know what they're saying. They're just acting out of their own hurt, and they're acting out of their own rejection. There's some basic things that I've come to learn through the years. People who feel rejected, reject others. People who are hurting, hurt others. People who are miserable want to spread the joy. They want to spread their misery. That's just miserable people make other people miserable. Hurting people want to hurt other people. Rejected people reject others. We have to be wise when hurtful words come from others. You know, don't react to that. Because your initial reaction is going to be to go right back at them. You know, they hurt you. It's tit for tat. It's respond in like manner. But God's called you and me to follow Christ.
Amen.
Follow Christ. Don't follow somebody else who has always got snappy responses. No, we're called to follow Christ.
Amen.
Who tells us, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Love your enemies.
Amen.
And who practiced what he preached. That's why we follow that example. He practiced what he preached. So we follow his message. We follow his manner, that is his example. Thirdly, we follow him continually. And by that I mean we follow him consistently.
Amen.
We follow him every day. We don't follow him in spurts and spasms. We don't follow him just when the skies are sunny, you know, and things are blue and the seas are calm. But we follow him in the dark days and the dark nights. We follow him in the trials and troubles. We follow him in the storms. We follow him when we can't even see him or feel him. But we follow because we follow him by faith, trusting him every day, every step. We follow him despite circumstances that seem to be contrary to everything we're believing for. You're believing for a loved one to be saved, and it seems like the only thing that comes out of that loved one's mouth is vile and vomit and venom. You don't follow what you hear. You don't follow what you see. You follow the Lord. You follow the Lord. We follow his message, his manner, and we follow him every day. We follow him continually. We don't quit. We don't deviate. We don't give up. And we hold on to that word that said you and your house would be saved. That's what we hold on to. It's easy to follow the Lord when you've got such clear sight and you see him right there in front of you. And, you know, just you see him. He's just his presence is so real to you and everything is going so well.
Amen.
But we're to follow him when you don't see him so clearly.
Right.
When the night is dark and the skies are overcast and the storms are brewing and the days and each step is a difficulty and your feelings are telling you that he's nowhere around. We continue to follow. We follow him every day. You know, that passage that I quoted a little while ago in John 21 and verse 19, where the Lord, even after Peter had failed so miserably, he had failed the Lord so miserably.
Right.
And you know, the Lord said, hey, you deny me before men, I'll deny you. And yet Peter repented.
Amen.
And you know what the Lord told him? John 21, verse 19, he said, follow me. The Lord didn't say, that's it for you, you're done.
Thank you, Lord.
Nope, he said, Peter, follow me.
Amen.
And the tense there in the Greek is continuous. It means you keep following me. Okay, you've fallen down, Peter. You've stumbled, you fell, and not only did you fell three times, and you fell hard, Peter.
Amen.
And now get up and follow me. You follow me. You've made a mistake, you've failed, you've stumbled, you've embarrassed yourself, you felt like you hurt the heart of God. All right, now you get up and follow me, and you keep following, Peter. The Lord doesn't step on us when we're down. We fail, we fall, we falter. That's because we're human. We're frail, we're dust. Doesn't excuse our failures, but let me tell you, don't let those failures keep you down. Because the Lord told Peter, even after such abject failure, he said, Peter, follow me. Keep following.
Amen.
Get back up. Get back on course. You know, that says volumes. You know what it says? Peter, you're forgiven. Peter, I'm not going to hold that against you. Peter, I love you. Even though you failed so hard and repeatedly.
Amen.
Follow me. That's what the Lord says, follow me. Now, I also believe we've all disappointed the Lord at times.
No doubt.
We've allowed things to come out of our mouth that should have never been said. And the bad things about that is, you know, you can't unsay them. You can't. It's like a bullet out of a gun. You can't unshoot a gun.
Amen.
Once that trigger's pulled, you can't unshoot it.
Amen.
Same thing with your tongue. Boy, once those things fly out, they fly out like bullets. They hurt. They injure. You can't unsay them. But you can pray for forgiveness. You can ask others to forgive you if you've wounded them, if you've injured them. But you know, then it falls back on us because we failed. That's our failure. We failed.
Amen.
Now you injured them and you've caused them all kinds of grief. And you're supposed to be the example. You're supposed to be the Christian. And
right. The
grief multiplies and the guilt multiplies. And you know what the Lord said? You follow me. He forgives us.
Thank you, Lord.
I always believe we should ask the Lord to forgive us. I always believe we should repent.
Amen.
You hurt somebody, ask them to forgive you.
Right.
Don't just shrug your shoulders and say, get over it.
Amen.
But ask them to forgive you.
Right.
And be sincere. You know, you got to be sincere.
Yes.
When you apologize. You got to have the right heart, the right attitude, the right words, the right spirit. Don't forgive like my kids forgive each other when they used to fight. I would say, now you forgive. Well, I'm sorry. Somehow it seemed to doubt. I seemed to doubt the sincerity of it. You know, they did it because we made them do it. We don't follow the Lord only when the mood strikes us. We don't follow the Lord when we're not too tired. You know, I'm tired today. I'm not going to be able to follow the Lord today. But, you know, I'll be back on track in a day or two. So we follow his message. We follow his manner. We follow him continually. That means consistently. And fourth, it means we're to be all in. All in. That means total commitment. We're all in. We're not half-stepping. We're not following the Lord half-measured. We're not holding back any part, anything. We're all in. I had a conversation not long ago with a young lady who attended our church when she was a child. They grew up. She was a faithful part of the congregation. And she later got married, moved away, moved out of state, and had a difficult time staying on track and following the Lord. And you know how that can be. Her life went awry, and lots of things happened that weren't all good. But I heard from her not long ago, and her and her husband were going to church, and they were reading the Bible, and they were They were asking questions. I like it when people have questions. Questions about the Bible, questions about, well, something's going on in our church. You know, I got a little question about this or that. Amen. So I like that. That means they're serious. People who don't ask questions, they're very casual, you know. But people who have real questions about things, Amen. Tells me they're sincere and they're interested. And one of the last things she said in the course of our communication was that she said, Brother Rusty, we're all in. Now, you know, that made my heart leap. We're all in. That is, we're in all the way. We're not holding anything back. No more half-stepping, no more half-measures. Because, you know, too many people say they're going to follow the Lord, but what they actually want to do is just put their toe in the water and just kind of test it a little bit, see how it works out for them. But when you're all in, you jump in. You jump in, you're all the way. You're going to swim away from the safety of the bank and the shallow shore. And you're going to serve the Lord with all of your heart.
Amen.
Excuse me. Excuse me. That's the way we're supposed to be, all in. Now that means we don't allow anyone or anything to hold us back.
Amen.
Actually, that's the command, you know, follow me. He says, you want to be my disciple, then here's what it is. You got to be all in because you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross every day. It's not a part-time thing or a half-measure thing.
Right.
But you take up your cross every day and follow me. That's the condition for discipleship.
Amen.
And you know, if you're not a disciple, you're not following Jesus. It means you're not saved, right? Look what he says. You want to be my disciple, verse 23? If anyone, any man, any woman, you want to come after me, then let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Take up his cross every day. Follow me. Because, he says, verse 24, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. You know what it means to save your life? Whoever will save his life, it means you still want to hold on to it. You still want to hold back some part of your life. You don't want to surrender it all to Christ. There's things you still don't want to let go of. That, too, is sometimes the case with people. You mean if I'm going to follow the Lord, to be a disciple, that's a lot to have to give up. I got to give up things. I have to turn away from things.
Amen.
But you know, when your heart is really being pulled towards Christ, those things are not difficult to let go of. They're really not. If you'd be willing to let them go, you'd find that you had no real affection for them anyway. The Lord's requirement, you know, is total and absolute surrender. He requires nothing less. Total and absolute surrender. It's not like you can hold back anything. The old song, I Surrender All. I surrender all. A modern version would be, I surrender some. But the Lord's call, of course, is to surrender all, to surrender all to Him.
Amen.
I read something interesting the other day. It was actually... ABC News did a report on, this was years ago, but they did a report on recruiting, military recruiters. And they sent 10 people to 10 different recruiter offices to see if the recruiters were lying to the prospective people who were joining the military. Now, I know sometimes recruiters get a bad name. I think a lot of them are probably just doing the best they can to meet the quotas that they have and so on. But they have been known to stretch the truth a little bit and make promises that that they can't keep. You know, like an Army recruiter. You come sign up, and well, anyway, these ABC recruiters, they had hidden cameras, all that stuff. Every one of them stretched the truth. Some really stretched it. Some stretched it a little bit. But then there was another report that was done by the New York Times. They did something similar, but one of the things that kind of stood out in my mind was the guy who promised the young recruit that he could bring his fishing pole. Because the guy loved to fish. And he said, whoa, you are in luck because, you know, your basic training is on an island. And the fishing is great out there. They have great fishing. Bring your pole. So I guess it had to be the joke of the sergeants or whatever when this guy shows up with a fishing pole as if he was going to be able to use it. Well, yeah, the island, the recruiter didn't really lie about how the fishing was great. Apparently it was on the island, but you can't go. You see, you're a recruit. You're not getting off the base. You know, sometimes promises are made that they aren't kept. They had a few others that I thought were kind of humorous, but it reminded me of the old movie, the guy with the long hair going to the Army, you know, and he said, can I keep my sideburns? And the barber says, sure you can. He shaved them right off and put them in his hand. There you go. You can keep them. Well, you know, the Lord didn't make any false promises. He wasn't like an Army recruiter or military recruiter making promises that, look, you're going to be able to go fishing every day and it's just going to be great. No, he said, if you follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. He didn't color everything rosy for those who would be his disciples. He told them the truth. He told them that to be a disciple is going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. And there's no half-stepping. There's no half-measures. You've got to be all in. Amen. You've got to be 100% a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You deny yourself. You take up the cross every day. Every day we have to die to our flesh. Every day we have to die to ourselves. You know, there's a reason why the Lord said you have to take up the cross daily. It's because every day we have to crucify this flesh. And it's not enough that you crucified your flesh yesterday. You have to do it again today and tomorrow. And because the flesh just keeps wanting to resurrect. And when he said, follow me, that's exactly what he meant. Follow him. Follow him. And follow him even if nobody else does. Remember the old song, though none go with me, still I will follow. I just wanted to remind us one and all that it's Christ we follow. That we follow his message, we follow his model, his manner, his example. We follow every day continually. And we follow him with all of our heart. No half measures, no halfway Christian. The Lord said that we're to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's no room here for love for the world. Or especially, you know, when he's talking about loving the sinful pleasures of the world. I want you to look with me one last passage and over in Luke chapter 14. I'm sorry. I tell you what, let me have you do. Turn with me over. You still there in Luke 9? Look with me just a few verses back. Back to verse 57. I'm still in Luke 9, 57. Just a couple verses here. Luke 9, 57. It came to pass as he went in the way. Notice this. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you're going. I'll follow you. The Lord said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I'll follow you. Well, again, the idea here is if you're going to follow the Lord, you need to be all in, because you don't know what's ahead. The potential hardships and difficulties. He's not painting rosy pictures here. It says, if you follow me and if you'll give generously, then all your needs will not only be supplied, but you're not just going to be able to follow me, you'll be able to follow me in the roles. Not really, right? No, he said the foxes have holes. Every bird has its own nest. Every animal has its hole or den. But he said, if you follow me, you don't know where the next step's going to lead you. You don't know what's going to be waiting for you. He said to another, verse 59, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. The Lord said, well, let the dead bury the dead. Amen. You go preach the gospel. Go preach the kingdom of God. Now, I know the Lord's response here seems like it might be a little harsh. Maybe it's a little unfeeling. Let me go bury my father. But I think we fail to recognize what's going on in this passage, and we fail also sometimes, I think, to understand the urgency of God's call. When he calls us today, right now. He's not calling to say, look, one of these days, I want you to surrender your life to me. You know, when you can get around to it. I know you're busy right now, but, you know, when you're not so busy, I want you to think about repenting of your sin and following me. That's not what he said. There's an urgency to it. And you see the attitude of the man right here when he says, let me first go bury my father. There's the key there. It's me first.
Right.
It's me first, not the Lord first. Now, likely the man's father wasn't actually dead, but he was aged. And perhaps he was using the fact that I've got an elderly parent and, you know, that's going to excuse me for the time being. I mean, I've got responsibilities. I've got things I've got to take care of. I can't commit right now. That's the point. The guy is saying, I can't commit right now.
Right.
I've got these obligations. But later, you know, later, this is just right now. It's got to be me first. And the Lord said, well, you know, the spiritually dead can bury the physically dead, but the spiritually dead can't really preach the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm calling you to go preach the gospel. The point being, we've got to have our priorities right. Nothing's more important than giving our all, 100%, that is, being all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another me first disciple. Another said, Lord, verse 61, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I'll follow you, but, you know, I think it's a good idea to put a circle around that word, but. I'll follow you, but me first. I'll follow you, but not right now. I'll follow you, but, you know, I would follow you. I believe the paraphrase here. You know, I want to follow you, but. I'd like to, but. I've got these friends, and I've got family. you know, we've been friends a long time. These people I got back at home, I'm just not ready to sever my relationship with them. My wants, my desires, my friendships, my family, all of that comes first. Me first. This is what the Lord said to him, verse 62. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's the fact. If you're going to put the Lord first, then that means everything else is behind. The Lord is first. It means you got, some of your friends are going to get upset with you. It means some of your family might get upset with you. So be it. You love them, but you put the Lord first. In all things, the Lord has to be first. Look, we've got to be all in. This is the cost of discipleship. This is what he says. I don't think many Christians realize that following Jesus isn't just an important thing. It's the most important thing. That we follow him. We don't try to fit the Lord into our busy lives. He becomes our life. We don't give him a slice of our life. Well, Lord, I'm gonna give you a piece of my life. And it's not like we can say, I'm gonna follow you, Lord, when I have the time. I am gonna get around to it. That's my intention. I'm going to get around to it. But every hour that we delay from making a commitment to the Lord, give space to the enemy to discourage, to bring in disillusionment, to add more excuses for why we don't make the commitment we're supposed to make. We have to make Christ central in our life. Everything revolves around him. I can't emphasize that enough. The Lord isn't something we add to our life to just make our life a little better. He is our life.
Amen.
Christ is our life.
You're right.
The Bible speaks about Christ who is our life. He is our life.
Amen.
If we live, we live for Christ. And if we die, we go be with Christ.
That's right.
We can't lose. It's not about following the Lord when we have the time. It's about following the Lord all the time.
Yes.
Follow me. Follow me. Follow his words. Follow his message. Follow his teaching. Follow his example. Follow him continually. That is, you follow him every day and you be all in. Do you think that's an unreasonable request? The Lord doesn't require us to do anything he hasn't done himself. Did he deny himself? Well, you know, he denied himself even his place in glory when he left it. He left his throne in glory and came down here to live among us. To walk in our dirty streets and to sweat and to hunger and to thirst. Did he deny himself? Yeah, he denied himself. He didn't come to a palace. He came into a manger, in a stable, in a poor family. Did he deny himself? Yes, his entire human life was a denial.
Yeah.
A denial of self. He could have came and been king, but he came as a servant. He could have came and reigned. He came and stood and suffered. Did he deny himself? Yes. Did he take up a cross? Yes. Did he suffer? Yes. Rejection, scorn, flesh-tearing scourge, crown of thorns, spear in his side, nails in his hands and feet. Did he suffer?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Did he leave us an example? We whine about some of the things we go through.
Right.
And yet still we look at our hands. Nope. Yep. No scars. He's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do himself.
Amen.
He denied himself. He took up the cross. And he followed every word that God said. Nothing deterred him. Nothing discouraged him. That's the attitude that we must have.
Amen.
We run this race according to the Bible. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus. Praise God for good examples.
Amen.
But remember, we look unto Jesus.
That's right.
The perfect example.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. No turning back, right? I've decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
Father, we pray today.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that you help us to keep our eyes on the goal.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that you help us to keep our hearts undivided. Lord, as so many things tear at us and pull at us, so many thoughts bombard our minds and thoughts. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you, our hearts fixed on pleasing you and serving you and honoring you with our lives. Lord, we thank you for the call to come and follow you. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us of walking in the way of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you provide all that we need to live a life of obedience and service. You give us your word, you give us your truth, you give us your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for that great provision. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of trusting you, walking by faith, of depending on you, standing on your word, standing on your promises. Lord, I pray that you help each and every one of us to keep our eyes fixed on you and to follow you all our days. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen.